Hey there, Prayer Warriors. Mark here. Just so glad to have you back. And let's go ahead and just open out the word of prayer, because I know it's on your heart and I know you continually do this. Dear Lord, you teach us so much every day, but we have to open our hearts. Let us open our hearts for the next few minutes just as we study your word and we pray about your word and those who have gone before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you all. Hey, last week we touched on Julia Ward Howe, the author of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, one of those amazing songs that we sing, we've sang forever. We hear it, other choirs and people sing it. They've sang it at presidential inaugurations, and it is just rooted in the Bible. And so I want to kind of recap a little bit about Julia. And she wrote this song in November of 1861 while she was in Washington, D.C., watching those men marching off to war, the Civil War, where 660,000 of our men, an entire generation, perished. If you really took a look at that, our population in the U.S. was a lot smaller at that time. If that was compared to the population we have now, that would be 6 million men perished at that time. That's the equivalent. We have 10 times the population, 10 times the men, 6 million men. That is just incredible what we do to ourselves, and we do it without prayer. We do it without understanding God. But anyway, so quick flashback, 1860s, you know, the Civil War is ongoing. It's, you know, 8 months after the war started. She writes these words, and they're just God-inspired. And at the same time, you know, another prayer warrior is out there, and I just really need to touch on his prayer. Abraham Lincoln, during his second inaugural address, he said, "Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray." And so here's the president of our United States. "Fervently do we pray that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet if God wills that it continue, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are just and true." Wow, amazing words from the president, Abraham Lincoln, during his second inaugural address. And that's really kind of a foundation for the Battle Hymn of the Republic, as we look at it verse by verse. Remember, there's six verses, one refrain, and so we'll quickly go through this just to see, and it's a study in and of itself. So I would pray that you could watch this podcast again, take a look at it, and just see where you want to study, because it's about end times. And at that time, I'm sure Julia is watching all of this and others. You know, here's the collapse of our country. Men fighting men. The Union against the Confederates. The North against the South. The Blue against the Gray. But if we take a look at that Battle Hymn of the Republic, remember, it starts off that first verse that she wrote. "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." And it's talking about God. You know, here in all the way back to Jeremiah 25:30, and it says, you know, "The tumult will resound to the ends of the earth, for the Lord will bring charges against the nations." We're talking end times that Jeremiah wrote in the Old Testament. He, God, will bring judgment on all mankind and put the wicked to the sword. Just as she wrote here, the coming of the Lord, his terrible swift sword. And then again, once you look in Isaiah, Isaiah writes, "In that day the Lord will take this terrible swift sword and punish Leviathan, the swiftly moving serpent." Who are we talking about? The swiftly moving serpent. "The coiling, writhing serpent. He will kill the dragon of the sea." And that's in Isaiah 27. So he's talking about this, and Julia is writing it. She's inspired by the Holy Spirit. We read last week from the book of Revelation 19, Luke 17:24. It says, "For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning," just as she writes, "which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other." we're talking end times. And she goes on in her second verse, I have seen him in the watchfires. We initially see the watchfires as those campfires that the soldiers have out there in the field. Watching him, God, Jesus, in the watchfires of 100 circling camps, they have builded him an altar. Him, God. In the evening dews and damps, I can read his, God's righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching on. And it's powerful. Her words, you know, the campfires, you know, they're around those areas in those. And what happens there in Daniel 5, we go back to the Old Testament again. You know, the hand of God wrote a sentence on the wall there, you know, for King Belshazzar's feast. Many tekel, peres, and the king trembled, called everybody, said, you know, what's going on here? He says, he placed in the scales and found wanting. And his kingdom was about to end. And it says there in Psalm 76, from heaven you pronounced judgment, and the land feared and was quiet. When you, O God, rose to judge, to save all the afflicted, those who are saved from the land. And so it's talking about the good and the bad. She's talking about slavery here. She's very much the abolitionist, being living there in the north. And those watchfires, you talk about Isaiah the prophet. He said, watchman, how far gone is the night? Watchman, how far gone is the night? The watchman says, morning comes, but also night. If you inquire, come back again. There in Isaiah 21. How much longer must justice tarry? How much longer? And that's really the heart of this and the whole slavery question. In their third verse, it was, I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rolls of steel. Bayonets! As ye deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero, Jesus, born of woman, crush the serpent with his heel. Sound familiar? Since God is marching on. Here we've got Genesis 3:15. And it's written in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head while you strike her head. So it ties right back into the scripture. And we've been singing this. We just have to understand that. And he writes in the next verse, he has sounded forth the trumpet that never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Clear, you know, here we've got Paul, you know, who writes there in 1 Corinthians 15:52, a trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised. And so we have these trumpets and we've been singing about this, but we just really haven't delved into it, have we? She references Malachi as well. There in Malachi 4, 1 through 4. She's very much of an Old Testament scholar as well. And surely the day is coming, it will turn in a furnace. And so she's talking about these things in that song that we sing. The next verse, in the beauties of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. We're saved. And he died to make men holy. Let us die to make men free. Let us die to make men free while God is marching on. And there in that last one, that's so filled with scripture, you know, and we understand what that is. And the last verse, he is coming like the glory of the morning on the wave. He is wisdom to the mighty. He is succor to the brave. So the world shall be his footstool and the soul of wrong his slave. Our God is marching on. Wow. And I my prayer is that never again, when you sing this song, when I sing this song, that we remember the Civil War, remember those who died, who have perished before us in our own country, that we pray that we don't have to go through times like that again for, you know, splits our nation. I just pray that we all sing that song. Take it to heart, study the six verses Julia Ward Howe wrote back in the fall of 1861 as she watched those men marching off to fight a war. Thank you so much, prayer warriors. You're in my heart. Have an amazing week.